Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. What a week, huh? The market, Obama, the State of the Union, the debate, ISIS, terror attacks every day this week in one part or another of the globe. Every day this week. All related to either ISIS or Al-Qaeda, which I'm not sure you can differentiate between anymore. You know, you've heard a zillion shows, radio, TV, whatever, about Obama's State of the Union address, and by now, Saturday morning, the Republican debate, which I thought was really quite good. So I'm not going to go into all those details. You've heard that from the mainstream media with a thousand different spins, depending upon who's talking and what agenda they're pushing and what party they're for and yada, yada. But I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to bring you the behind-the-scenes stuff. Now, we all know, and by the way, that behind-the-scenes stuff, that has to do with a lot of different things. It has to do with Hillary Clinton and what I think Obama really has planned for the presidential race. And why, and I think it'll scare the hell out of you, in addition to get you to think. Number two, I'm going to tell you about what's going on with Guantanamo, really. Not this nonsense that was dribbled out at the State of the Union speech. And where the hell is the rest of the government? Where the hell is Congress, who passed the law saying that what he's doing he can't do? I mean, he releases one guy the other day, releases 10, I believe, yesterday or the day before? Unbelievable. And then we're going to go over, by the way, Russia and Europe and some horrifying revelations that have been made by Valerie Jarrett, Obama himself, and his chief of staff, McDonnell. You know, just can't stand him, about what Obama really has planned for this year. I mean, he didn't give you the scoop, because he never does at the State of the Union speech. And gun control, little fact check here. Obamacare, another thing he talked about. The economy, the middle class, how well things are going. Look, it doesn't do any good to go through his speech and try and enunciate where he was purposely incorrect, intentionally lying, deliberately distorting. This is what he does. It is what progressives do. The means justifies the end. I think it's Rule 7 or Rule 6, whatever. It's one of the eight rules of Saul Alinsky. The means justifies the end. So let's get started, because we have a lot of territory to cover. And rather than picking apart what he said, I'm going to give you facts. And I suggest that you, and it's easy to do, Google it up and listen. If you didn't listen to it, listen to his State of the Union speech and think about what you've heard on this show. Backed by, I might say, a whole slew of articles down below. And make sure that you read, make sure you listen to and watch the video that's posted right below the write-up this week. Quite telling. All right. So, you know, here is what this whole thing reminds me of. And I had an epiphany watching the cataclysmic events, from terror to economy to State of the Union to Republican debate, to Congress doing nothing about Guantanamo, all the things that happened this week. I mean, this is a quickening, right? faster and faster and faster we go. I mean, you can feel it, can't you? Can't you feel the tempo, the dark tempo pick up? Yes, I think you can. I know you can. I know the markets can. You can see by what's happening. And it reminded me of an old movie, and I'm sure many of you who are listening remember it or will remember it as I talk about it. It was called The Invasion of the Body Snatchers. You remember that old horror flick where these pods came down from outer space? They look like these huge pea pods, kind of these huge elongated squash pods. And if they were placed in a room or in proximity of a human, they slowly and nastily and horrifyingly grew into the form of that human. And when the human went to sleep, it took over the human soul. The human was gone, and the pod person, this automaton, this, you know, kind of like that farmer in the commercial. Yeah, I'm sure you've seen it. You know, what is it? Cornflakes, that's right. I love my cornflakes, my cornflakes. And, you know, he's standing there with his wife, with absolutely expressionless, devoid of emotion or passion. And that's what the pod people were. You know, it was the invasion of the alien body snatchers. And, you know, the epiphany hit me that this, I can't think of a better analogy of what the progressive game plan is. I've talked in the past about Cass Sunstein, the regulatory czar, the book he wrote about how you nudge things until suddenly everybody's stuck and they don't realize they were even nudged into position. You look at what Obama has done with stalling the IRS deal until, you know, it went away when obviously the IRS was at fault and Lois Lerner should be in jail along with a bunch of her henchmen. And it was directed by the White House. And by the way, they're still doing it. I mean, they're still targeting audits and all sorts of stuff. Nothing has changed. And you watch them try to do it with Benghazi, except I don't think he might get away with it. I don't think Hillary's going to get away with it. And she tried the same thing. You know, you just keep going and going and going, delaying and stalling, injecting this, injecting that. In other words, you know, like the immigration thing. Obama's ignoring the courts. He's lost in court. He's ignoring the law. He's ignoring Congress. And what's the end result? The end result, I'm going to talk about this next week, is you have 100,000 illegal aliens coming across the border every month and accelerating. Well, at a certain point in time, there's just so many illegal aliens here. The system is so overburdened. The government has been so disrespectful of the states, of the American population, the native-born American population, or the legally naturalized population, that there's nothing you can do. It's like Obamacare. Obama illegally and unconstitutionally got the law in, then illegally and unconstitutionally deferred all the bad provisions unilaterally until now, 4 years later, it's entrenched. Oh, I think we can still get rid of it. But how much more difficult is it? I mean, even though the policies are lousy, you can't get a doctor. 70% of the 18 million, which is an overblown figure that he used in the State of the Union speech, are on Medicaid. Try getting a doctor to see you if you're on Medicaid. Here's a news flash, all you folks, you libs who like to listen to me because you hate me, or you hate what I have to say, or both. Here's a news flash. The insurance card doesn't cure you. The doctor cures you. And if there's no doctor that will take your Obamacare Medicaid insurance card, you're kind of screwed. I know you haven't figured that out, but it's the truth. And you get to pay for it, too. Or somebody else gets to pay for it, depending upon what rung you're on. So we've seen the same thing with Obamacare. We've seen the same thing with the military. I mean, he started paring down the military. He started weakening it with his social experiments. One by one, bit by bit. You know, it's kind of like an Edgar Allan Poe. You know, inch by inch, closer he came. That's what's going on. This is the game plan. And when I tell you some of the things I'm going to tell you in this show about what's going on behind the scenes that none of the mainstream media is talking about, they're all too fixated on the debate and the actual speech and, who got up and walked out and whatever crap. It's all crap. There's a much, much, much bigger three-dimensional chess game going on here. Obama is going to, as I have warned, this is the most dangerous year in American history ever, not only internationally, as we saw with the horrific pictures from those two speedboats out of those two military boats that were, quote-unquote, captured by Iran. The United States military on its knees with its hands behind its head. And John Kerry thanking the Iranians for releasing them. Wow. This, Kerry, I could spend a show on Kerry. Spineless sop that he is. Lackey to Obama that he is. The Iran nuclear deal. There's another example. Inch by inch, he has gotten this deal into place. Now they're going to get their $100 billion. Valerie Jarrett, I'm sure, is getting all sorts of congratulatory letters from her brethren in Tehran, where she was born. That is the plan. The plan is to inject the American body politic, the American body of values, the American body of freedom and individual rights, including the Second Amendment and the First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment and the Tenth Amendment, with so much gradually applied poison, like the slow drip drip of 100 intravenous needles. You don't notice each drip, it's the cumulative effect. That is the plan. And even though these actions he's taking that he knows full well are unconstitutional or illegal, which nobody does anything about. I mean, in his own way, he's kind of like Iran. Iran keeps pushing the envelope and pushing the envelope and pushing the envelope, and so does North Korea, because nothing happens. Obama is the same. He keeps pushing the lawless constitutional envelope, the assault against family, freedom, speech, constitution, faith, drip by drip. And it's the cumulative effect that is killing the body politic. It is the cumulative effect that is turning us into a pod country. He is the pod. He is setting out the pods next to us. And as we sleep and argue and get distracted, many times distractions that they create, slowly this form, this life form that is not America, is taking over who we are. And it's on purpose. And it's intentional. And it's brilliant. And it's working. So, one of the things, and it's probably one of the few quotes that I'm going to use out of his speech, he called ISIS, whom he had called previously, and by the way, another example. He had a chance to take ISIS out. I'm telling you, this guy believes that ISIS are freedom fighters against the old, nasty, colonial mites. Europe, America, and Israel. There is no other explanation for his acts and failures to act. He could have taken ISIS out 2 years ago when they were massed on the Iraqi border. He had all the intelligence, which of course he lied about, and said blaming it on the intelligence community. He did not. At every step of the way, he has failed to take even actions which are against inert objects like oil fields. He has found an excuse because it would do environmental damage. Can't bomb the headquarters, even though we have the intelligence, which eventually we gave the French a year later. We can't bomb the command and control. We learn that 75% of the sorties don't drop bombs. We learn about these incredible rules of engagement, which make no sense in any military context. And he keeps stringing it along, pretending he's doing something, sending 50 special operations folks to Syria, pretending that he, and spending $500 million on training six, watch the congressional testimony, six Free Syrian Army operatives. So he announces an action which gets everybody to sit back a little bit, and another month goes by, and ISIS gets a little bit stronger, and they recruit a little bit more, and they have a little bit more territory, and they have more materials and weapons and money. He releases these people from Guantanamo. He tells us that, oh, it's a recruiting tool. It hasn't been a recruiting tool. Guantanamo has not been a recruiting tool since like 8 years ago. Google it up. Our intelligence agencies track the Islamic extremists all the time. It hasn't been a recruiting tool forever. And then he tries to tell us that it's going to save money, that it costs $4 million a year or whatever it is. Who cares? To keep one of these guys in Guantanamo. Really? Barry Obama telling us that it costs $4 million to do anything? Hell, he spent that in a week of his Hawaii vacation. That's like 3 seconds, and I don't think I'm too far off. You can do the math. 3 seconds of our daily expenditure and increase in debt. And what about the converse? What about the costs of terror? What about the costs of all this additional security? What about the costs of the TSA at the airports? That's not a couple million dollars. It's hundreds of billions. For all I know, it's a trillion. And nobody calls him on this. And he buys another month for his buddies. Another month for his agenda. They get ever stronger, more difficult to take out. Like Obamacare. Like the IRS. This is his game plan. It's an epiphany. He is the bringer of the alien pods. Absolutely. Convinced of it. And during his speech, and I tell you what, I can barely listen to or watch this man anymore. But during his speech, he again, instead of calling them JVs, he calls them twisted, tortured souls that plot in hotel rooms. Guys with machine guns that ride around in the back of pickup trucks. They're not a threat. Although he did slip and say they are a threat to civilians. Gee, what are we? Aren't we civilians? 1% of the 350 million Americans is in the military. That leaves about, 346 million of us that are civilians? That was a telling Freudian slip, was it not? He doesn't care. This is all about reparations, retribution, and redistribution. This is punishing the America he so loathes. It's about punishing us for being such a nasty colonial power, for having slavery 160 years ago, 1,000 years after his ancestors, by blood, were the biggest slavers in the world. They're called the Arabs. Look it up. Look, his speech was so rife with proof of this epiphany I've had about what is really going on that, I could spend four or five shows picking it apart. I promise not to do that, and I'm not going to. But he talked about Iran, okay? Iran who sent out, you know, the litany of stuff. I don't need to go over with you. The ballistic missile tests, including missiles that are coming to us, and then working with the North Koreans on missiles and nuclear technology, and then taking these two patrol boats, and then the videos, and on, you know, burning the American. I mean, look, the list is endless. The list has been endless since 1979. Particularly since this deal got signed, it's been on steroids. And he really wants us to believe. This is another deal that he's doing. Do you understand? He wants Iran to have the bomb because that is fair. We have the bomb. They should have the bomb. Christians have the bomb. Muslims should have the bomb. White people have the bomb. Brown people should have the bomb. And this deal is going to go far enough down the road that they're going to get the bomb. Whether somebody undoes it, whether an American president, the next American president, undoes that deal or not, they already have the money. They've already had another year to further harden their facilities. They've had another year of consorting, conspiring, and learning from the North Koreans. This is all about buying time. Time is his ally, him and his progressive Marxist Muslim sympathizing friends. Time is our enemy. It's true even in the education system. We've finally woken up to what's happening to our youth and our young adults because the progressives started 40 years ago, slowly and surely, peopling the education system with progressive minds that teach incorrect progressive thoughts to susceptible young minds. So now that there's a whole generation coming up. Look at him cheering for Bernie Sanders, a socialist. This is what they do. This is their MO. You know, he had an interview over the course of this week. I think it was with CBS News. It was the morning of his speech. And the guy asked him about ISIS, and he just kind of said, oh, you know, I think everybody's going to kind of realize it's like Al-Qaeda. And everybody over there is going to realize it's a blind alley. I believe those are exact words. And they're going to go away, you know. Unfortunately, Al-Qaeda has not gone away. In fact, Al-Qaeda is now run, Al-Qaeda in Yemen, the most dangerous branch, is now run in part by one of the Gitmo releasees of 2012, Obama's releasee from Gitmo. He's buying time for his agenda. He's buying time for the drip, drip, drip of anti-American poison to extract its toll. He's buying time for that pod to grow into our form and take us over. And he's, if you listen to, first of all, let's talk about Guantanamo specifically, since we're kind of there. McDonough, in several interviews, including a Monday interview and a Sunday interview with Chris Wallace this past Sunday, said that Obama's absolutely going to close Gitmo. People are now starting to worry that he's going to give Gitmo back to the Cubans, who, by the way, will lease that state-of-the-art military facility in a heartbeat to the Russians or the Chinese, or both. Or maybe even Iran. Wouldn't that be dandy? 90 miles from our coast. John Kennedy would be turning in his grave. He and his ilk, progressives, try to tell us that there is no risk. They even lied to Ghana. Ghana got two Yemeni prisoners. And Ghana was told that they were low risk, that they had no, by the administration, they were low risk, and you can Google this up, folks. They were told that they were low risk, no problem. Ghana's up in an uproar. The president of Ghana had to go on national TV and do a press conference where he repeated what he had been told by the State Department and the administration. No problem with these two guys. Guess what? Go to Wikipedia. That's right, Wikipedia. And type in Gitmo releasees. And you know what you're going to see? I don't know where they got the documents, but some patriot leaked them. You'll see the actual Guantanamo Task Force reports on these people. Not just these two, but the 10 that got released yesterday. They're classed in three levels. Low risk. Medium risk, which means there's a chance that they're going to return to the battle, and high risk. Really nasty. They're going to return to the battle. They're going to try and kill Americans. Both of these Yemeni prisoners were high risk. The reports are now online. Not only is our government lying to us, they're lying to other governments. God only knows how much money of ours, in the form of either direct cash, bribes, armament, who knows what, they're giving these countries to take these people who they admit, in one of their rare glimpses of partial truth, are only going to be temporarily housed there. Now, on one hand, you have this gentleman telling us how concerned he is with American safety. And on the other hand, he is releasing people who, like one of these Yemenis, vowed to kill Americans when he got out. In fact, he used the words, slit the throat of every American I meet. But he's concerned about our safety, folks, and everything is cool. There's no problem. Oh, and by the way, because everything's cool, the violence we really have to worry about is the violence from, you know, Americans who've purchased firearms. So we need all these firearms back. Okay. You know, ISIS this week, he didn't talk about this at all. He didn't mention the 10 sailors in Iranian custody, actually the night of his speech, Tuesday night. He didn't mention that there's now 10,000 ISIS fighters in Libya. This is all on Hillary Clinton's back, by the way. Remember, she took out Gaddafi. He didn't mention that all the arms of Gaddafi's army, which was pretty well armed, was given to those quote-unquote rebel fighters, including elements of ISIS. Let me repeat that. The State Department knowingly gave weapons to elements of ISIS in the Libya debacle. Look it up, folks. And guess where they were being funneled through? Guess where it was all being arranged? Through Ambassador Chris Stevens in Libya. Through Benghazi. I don't know if we're ever going to get to the bottom of Benghazi. I talked about it when it first happened, and I forecast that it would be, in my opinion, quite probably the needle on the haystack that brought down the whole thing. And you know what? It just might be. It just might be. Hillary's been caught lying, as you know, to the families. You know about the lie that she, Susan Rice, and Obama, etc., the rest of the entourage, foisted on the American people and the world on this video, now proven, by the way, to be a lie by her own emails that didn't exist on the server that was secure. Yeah, I don't think the story of Benghazi is over. I'm not sure if we're ever going to get to the real bottom of it. But I will tell you that I think it was all set up. I think Chris Stevens was meant to be either kidnapped and exchanged for Gitmo prisoners. I mean, if you exchange a diverter for five Taliban generals, gee, what would you exchange an ambassador for? With the American people behind you, no less. Or he was meant to just not be able to talk anymore. To cover up the dirty little secrets. And that's why help wasn't sent. And I'll tell you another theory of mine. I don't think Obama cared enough to say yes, help, or no, don't help. He was worried about his campaign appearance in Las Vegas the next morning. I think Hillary Clinton purposely made herself unavailable, because there was never any intention to rescue Chris Stevens in an attack that they knew damn well was coming. Didn't that video story come together pretty quick? I would think you'd have to kind of plan that in advance, don't you? Have a guy who shot a video, have the whole nine yards. Just too quick, too smooth. And in the end, not true. I don't know if we'll ever find out, but I'd bet money on it. Okay, we haven't heard why he hasn't established a Syrian safe haven. That's because he wants the refugee crisis, folks. And the refugee crisis is just like the invasion of the body snatchers. It's one more limb growing on that pod meant to replace who we are. Because once you have, by the way, did you know that he, and he didn't talk about this in his speech, he's increased the number of Syrian refugees now. It's not 10,000 anymore, now 65,000. If you go back into the archives and Google it up and take your time, you can find a speech or two where he said 250,000. And is he slowing the process down? Hell no. And did Mitch McConnell fund it for him? Hell yes. Drip, drip, drip. Drip, drip, drip. Killed by 1,000 drips of poison. That'll be the epitaph of America. While we watched football. Wow. All right. And by the way, if you know, Donald Trump had an amazing, he had the best moment for Donald Trump, the best moment of that debate. I'm not saying I'm a Trump fan. In fact, I'm not saying whose fan I am right now. I'm going to let this play out and then I'm going to give you my opinion probably in the next month or two. But there was one great moment, and that's when Donald Trump said, "You're damn right I'm angry." Well, you know what, listeners? You're damn right. I'm angry. And the more I think about this, and the more surety I have in what's really going on here, on a million different tangents, so many you can't even follow them, in a million different ways, so many you can't even follow them, the drip, 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 aided and abetted by morons in Congress. Well, damn right I'm angry. You know, what do you think would have happened to the planet if Chamberlain had stood up in front of Britain in the dark days, the dark early days of World War II, and said, oh, don't worry, this Nazi thing, it's just a blind alley. You know, we've had lots of this kind of stuff in Europe over the years, over the centuries. Napoleon, all those guys. I mean, everybody will realize it's just a blind alley. You just go away. How about if Roosevelt had said, don't worry about those Japanese guys. You know, I mean, hey, we've been through this before. It's just a blind alley. You think this is any different? Well, it is different. It's different because this is a struggle for civilization. That's what it is. And Barack Obama knows it. And so does Valerie Jarrett. And so does his whole little circle. And our side of civilization is not who they want to see win. I flat guarantee you that.